So welcome back to the Birdie Bug Pod,
episode 39. We're back.
Yeah, we've been away, haven't we?
Yeah.
Or is it you who's been away?
No, we've just had a busy time with... Obviously, previously, we took some time off because of my wedding. And then the last few weeks, we've had, like, my brother's stag do and things like that. So it's just been short on time.
Yes.
Too many weddings.
Yes, too many weddings. But we are back and raring to go.
Yeah, and a fun episode today as well. Something a little bit different and a little bit silly, but very relaxed and I think should be quite good fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a bit of fun, this one. Hopefully it's going to be a bit of fun.
Shall we give the topic away before we do our catch-up?
Yeah, go on then. This was your idea.
Yeah, so. This was... Essentially, the last 2 weeks, neither of us have really got any work done. We've just been watching the Olympics.
It's been absolutely brilliant.
It has been brilliant. So it's been non-stop sport and I've become a little bit obsessed with it. So I thought it might be entertaining to see if we could create like a Team GB, but out of our native wildlife instead of, you know, athletes. So we've essentially gone away and tried to find animals that can do impressive athletic feats. And, you know, what sport would they compete in the Olympics? Yeah. Can we build an Olympic team out of our wildlife?
Yeah, and basically you've concentrated on your bugs and I've tried to concentrate on the birds.
Yeah, so
that kind of makes sense.
We've stuck very much to our name.
Yeah.
I think there were a few odd ones thrown in.
I've had to throw a couple of mammals in because obviously birds are relatively restricted on some of the events.
Yeah, but we thought it'd be... Well, part of the fact is quite fun and we've been a bit Olympic... obsessed. It was also a nice way to highlight some of our wildlife and some of the rather impressive things that they can do. I've got some, obviously being very focused on the insects, I've got some things in here that might surprise people. So this episode is going to be no environmental concerns, no conservation, just a chill chat about some wildlife and building an Olympic team.
I think you might have had a bigger pool of competitors to choose
slightly
from me.
just
a few more.
I was a bit stumped for things like climbing because they can all climb pretty much, but anyway, we'll see. I don't know anything that you've chosen, so I'm quite excited to see what you've brought for our wildlife team GB.
Let's crack on. I don't suppose you have you got any catch up?
I actually do have catch up for the first time in probably a year.
Well, knock yourself out.
But last weekend I went up to Chester to see Sean. Hi Sean, if you're listening, I know you listen occasionally, so
Sean, you will be on here one day,
give you a little shout out. Went up to see him and we went out and did some birding. I'd had my first sort of proper twitching experience and went to see a pectoral sandpiper, which was really cool to see, although it sort of hid underneath the legs of geese, so we got
not a bird I've seen.
Got quite fleeting glances of it. And then we went to RSPB Burton Mere, which was absolutely stunning. A really, really great reserve. A lot bigger than I thought it was going to be.
And just for the listeners, let them know exactly where that is.
Somewhere near Chester.
I know your geography is really good. It's somewhere near Chester.
Somewhere
That's
near
good
Chester.
Enough,
yeah, I titled the notes of what species we saw: bear birds in the north. So
was it actually in Wales or is it in England? Because Chester's in England, isn't
yeah,
it?
I think it's in England.
Right on the border, isn't it?
Yeah.
I only know that because Chester Castle was a very big stronghold for the English trying to stop the Welsh invading.
I think
many, many years ago.
I think Burton Mere is in England, but I don't really know. I just turned up and got driven around.
Right.
But it was really. We did a species list across the weekend. Saw 73 bird species, which is pretty decent. We saw things like great spotted woodpeckers, which are always nice to see, meadow pipits, lots of water birds, lots of marsh harriers, great white egrets.
Great white egrets, you saw a lot of those.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, though, the thing that really stole the show was the tree creeper. And while they're not particularly rare and they're, you know, not that hard to see, Sean had seen one in the car park pretty much every time and we hadn't seen one all day, and so by the end of the day we were just like running around this car park trying to find one because we knew there must be one there.
I love a tree creeper.
And we did see it right at the end as well, but I also, it wasn't all birds. I got to spend some time doing some macro photography, which was really nice. Saw some really cool harvestmen, but yeah, it was just nice to actually go out, do some photography and see some wildlife, because as we know from the podcast, I don't really have any catch-up. So,
no, I must admit, I don't have any catch-up because I'm looking back and I realise I've probably spent the last 10 weeks watching sport, because we had the Euros, the football, that went on for 3.5 weeks. We have Wimbledon that went on for 2.5 weeks, and we've just had the Olympics that's gone on for 3 weeks. And all I've done, literally, is watch sport.
Yeah, I'm going to feel
I
a
need
bit lost.
To go back and do some work soon because all I've done is watch sport.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, thankfully, it's not too long before the Paralympics start. So we've only got a small break.
And they're amazing.
Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to that next. But yeah, I'm the same.
So perhaps I won't go back to work then.
So
we'll just watch sport.
In that case, continuing on the sport, should we crack on with the episode?
Let's crack on. So I don't know how you want to do this because obviously there are quite a few categories as, you know, Olympic sports. So I'll just grab one out of the air. Should we start with swimming?
Yeah, start with swimming. On the ones that we've got, you know, one each, if we do a category, we'll compare. I think we've got some that the other hasn't. So let's just wing it, see how it goes,
well,
see what
just
you brought.
Wing it, I like that. So that's very relevant for me, isn't it? Winging it.
You just wing it.
Yeah.
So kick it off with swimming then. That's, to be fair, I would have thought you'd have a few options.
Yeah, it's quite tricky for me with birds and swimming because obviously there's a bit of an overlap with diving as well because a lot of the birds that are really good at swimming are also really good at diving, but that's okay. That's cool. I've got a few contenders to make the GB swimming team.
Oh, interesting.
But I think I know which one that I would put forward, and that is the cormorant, because
obviously a bird very close to my heart.
Not only is the cormorant absolutely fantastic at swimming underwater, you obviously see them swimming above water as well, and that probably makes the difference between the other birds that I've got on the list. I've got things like grebes. Grebes are fantastic swimmers. And in fact, they have their interesting fact about grebes is they have their feet placed a little bit further back in its body. So they're quite clumsy on land, but as swimmers, they're absolutely amazing. And they're fantastic. I've got razorbills as well on there because they're a fantastic. They can dive down to great depths. 330 feet they've been recorded as diving down to get sand eels and things off the seabed. Puffins, of course, amazing swimmers. But I've gone for cormorants because I just love them. They can also dive down to about 30 metres. They can hold their breath for an incredible amount of time. It's normally about 30 seconds, but they've been known to stay underwater for up to 2 to 3 minutes. But it's because I love the way they also swim above
the water.
So
at the surface.
Looking almost like, you know, Nessie going across the water. I'm sure that's what people see when they see Loch Ness or cormorants on Loch Ness because they look very similar, don't they? So I've gone for cormorants because they're supreme swimmers underwater.
I do love a cormorant. Obviously, I've got one tattooed on my shoulder. I have a real love for cormorants.
Yeah, so, I mean, you could have gone... If you go on the mammals, you could have gone dolphins. They're our fastest marine mammal for swimming.
Yeah, it's sort of cheating, though, isn't it? Cause,
but that's sort of cheating.
Oh, that being said, mine's basically aquatic, so I can't call that cheating.
So I've gone for... I'm putting forward the cormorant as the swimmer for our GB.
Okay, well, I'm bringing something very different.
Go on.
So I've gone for my swimmer, the whirligig beetle.
I'm not sure I've even heard of a whirligig
pretty
beetle.
Pretty much. They're basically a centimetre long. If you ever look at... a pond or river, and you see a little black dot spinning in circles, that's a whirligig beetle.
Right.
However, so they are one of the fastest swimming insects out there. All right, granted, they normally go in circles, but it's not the point.
So they don't get very far.
The point is that they can reach a peak acceleration of 100 meters per second and a top velocity of 100 body lengths per second, which is about 1 meter per second. And that is just when you compare it to their body size, that acceleration is absolutely mental. I brought a cool fact. So it was always assumed that they were using like drag based thrust. But people were a bit confused. Like, there's no way they could reach that level of acceleration using drag based thrust because they'd have to move their legs so fast that it just wasn't really possible.
Yeah.
And so a scientific study found that they actually use something called lift based thrust, which where their limbs almost work like a propeller, so they sort of move perpendicular to the water, and it essentially eliminates the drag problem, allows for greater speed. And it's the sort of thrust that's been seen in bigger animals like whales and dolphins, but never in something quite so small. And their design, their body shape, has actually gone on to be used to design things like robotic underwater devices.
Wow, that's amazing.
Because of the speed that they can get from
that's
such a
incredible.
Small body.
I love
so
that.
They've then inspired robotics and some ship design, but ship design struggles because you need to have space for people. or some sort of operator, whereas when it comes to like the robotics, they can design it far more similar to a whirligig beetle. Yeah. So very small, do have a habit of going around in circles, but at an insane speed. So they might need their
own. So we reckon that the whirligig beetle could be a contender for the, you know, the sprint swimming. You know, they do the 50-meter, go as absolutely like the clappers, don't they, fast as they can. I reckon that could be
a good although, you know, if it's a really short pool, going in circles is basically length anyway.
Going in circles might be slightly detrimental to winning the race.
Just found that it was one of those examples of biomechanic that you couldn't really appreciate unless you really studied it. And I had no idea. I've seen them just spinning around on the water surface, but no idea that they're hitting a peak acceleration of 100 metres per second. It's mental.
Yeah, that is mental.
For a very short distance.
I mean, and actually just a little addition to swimming, I have put ducks in for the synchronized swimming. Because you see
bob upside down.
And they bob up and you just see ducks' bottoms, and they do it beautifully in time together. Yeah. So I've put the ducks in, and it can be lots of ducks do it. Mallards are brilliant at it. They do it a lot where they go in formation and then stick their, you know,
put their feet
bottoms
in the air.
So I've put ducks in for the synchronised swimming. I don't know whether you've got any one.
I've not.
That
got
was just a little additional
synchronised swimming. But I mean, I think for a lot of the events, each country was allowed to submit two, weren't they? So two contenders.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can take a cormorant and a whirligig. We might need different sized pools.
Yeah, I think we might.
And the cormorant might have to not eat my beetles.
Yeah,
but otherwise,
it could be a danger of that.
I thought I'd bring the whirligig.
Although cormorants actually just, to be honest, they're staple diet fish, so I think they'll probably ignore the beetle.
Okay, so there are our GB swimmers.
Okay, well, keeping with the watery theme, obviously we've really enjoyed the diving, haven't we, in the Olympics? It's been absolutely incredible.
Yeah, see, I struggled. I didn't really bring anything for diving. I got lots of aquatic animals, but I didn't get anything that's sort of like diving beautifully.
Okay, well, I've got diving beauty, and again, there are a few. I mentioned razorbills early on. They'll dive from great heights and obviously go straight into the water, but my diving nominee has got to be the gannet.
Yeah, it has to be, doesn't it? I thought you might go kingfisher.
Well, there are lots that I looked at. Kingfisher obviously is another one, but kingfisher is will go from a much, there would obviously be a low diving board.
Yeah, and the 3 meter spring board.
I mean, the divers in the Olympics are going from a 10 meter board. Gannets will go from as high as 40 metres, they'll start their dive, which is 130 feet they'll start their dive. And they'll hit the water. They hit the water at about 55 miles an hour, which is about nearly 90 kilometres an hour. And they're specially adapted for doing that. They use a combination of speed and wing beats, and they can dive down as deep as 115 feet from that.
Yeah, they are insane. They're like missiles, aren't they?
But they've got some really interesting adaptations to their body. For example, their slits of their beak is covered by a flap of hard tissue that closes when the bird dives. They've also got little airbags. They're equipped with airbags in their respiratory system, which cushions their body when the head hits the water at that speed. If we were to do it, it would knock us out. It might even kill us. So they've got some amazing adaptations. And, you know, when you see a gannet go down, it is like a missile. And so the gannet has to be my diving.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair choice. I think, like you say, maybe the kingfisher takes you 3 metre spring. Your gannet takes you 10 metre diving board.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are other ones as well if you were wanting to highlight accuracy of diving. An osprey for me as well dives into the water with incredible accuracy to catch fish. All right, it might go in feet first. It would probably be good for quite good for cliff diving, actually, because they go in.
Yeah,
but don't do cliff diving in the Olympics. But so it has to be a gannet. It was a difficult one because, again, if people think of birds diving, I think the first bird that they would make reference to would be a peregrine, because the peregrine, A, it's the fastest animal in the world. It'll dive at 200 miles an hour. But
it's not hitting the water,
so it had to be a gannet.
Yeah. See, the problem I had is I had lots of diving options, but they weren't going from above water to underwater. It was like the great diving beetle, who just lives underwater.
Yeah.
And things like the diving bell spider, for example, that can go underwater with an air bag that it creates.
What's fascinating about you doing this is that you are mentioning invertebrates that I haven't heard of before. And we have to emphasise these are all UK based native species, aren't they?
So. Yeah, so you've got all these cool, like I said, the spider that literally creates, they call it a diving bell spider because of the old bells that divers used to take as like a captured pocket of air. Yeah. They'll create a pocket of air with
a little air sac.
Yeah, that they can then go through and top up their air. But they're not going from above to below the water, they're just diving underwater. So it's more like a scuba diver rather than a diving board type thing. Yeah. So in that case, I think we'll give the spot to the gannet with an honorary mention of maybe the kingfishers.
I think the gannet's got to do the diving.
I do, however, have quite a cool one for running.
Okay.
So for sprinting, I've gone for the green tiger beetle.
Okay.
I feel like there's been a mention of them somewhere and on this podcast before, but I can't. I mean, they haven't had their own episode, so I can't think of why I would have done. But essentially, they're a sort of heathland sandy habitat beetle. Absolutely stunning if you get to see them because they are like a metallic green. But they are an incredibly fast beetle. I think actually one of the fastest beetles in the world is an Australian tiger beetle, and this is the green tiger beetle is a UK species. But it can set off and run at around 0.5 metres per second. So if with all mine, you have to scale that up. And if you were to scale that up to a human-sized animal, this would be about 50 metres per second or 112 miles per hour.
Wow.
So you have to do it on relative size.
That's so bonkers.
If you had a human-sized green tiger beetle, it's topping 100 miles an hour.
That's bonkers.
But 0.5 metres per second, and they'll do this both for catching prey. So they're a ground-hunting beetle, so they eat things like spiders, caterpillars, and stuff. I don't know, I've chased down a caterpillar, but you might have to chase down a spider. But they actually use it as a defensive thing. If you ever disturb one, they'll take flight. But like a lot of sort of bigger beetles, they're not the best in the air. So they'll fly a little bit, hit the ground, and then just sprint off. And they really are rapid. I've had a real difficult time trying to photograph them.
Well, 112 miles an hour, that's going to take
equivalent.
Equivalent, so that's pretty impressive.
So 0.5 metres per second, but absolutely stunning beetle and a bit of a record holder in the insect world, so I thought I'd bring them along as my sprinter.
Difficult for me with sprinting because obviously birds fly, so they don't. Although I have got a stat about probably the fastest UK bird that runs is a pheasant, and they actually will run. They prefer to run, actually. They're quite clumsy flyers, pheasants. And when they're trying to escape predators or they get spooked, they will obviously run, you know, across fields and what have you. But they're only recorded running between about 10 and 15 miles an hour. So I had to then concentrate on birds flying at level flight, not peregrines doing a 200-mile-an-hour dive.
I don't mean to disqualify pheasants. They're not technically a native bird.
They're not native. They were introduced back in the 1800s, so they're not technically a native bird. But they have been
a part of our countryside for a huge amount of time. I'll let you off them. They are. So, I love watching them run.
Yeah. So I've then had to concentrate on birds that fly very fast at level flight, and actually the highest recording, and it's very difficult to record birds at level flight, but swifts are known to be the fastest.
Yeah.
And they can fly at about 70 miles an hour level flight. However, there was I found a little report. It was done in 2004, published by French and British researchers working in sub-Antarctic. And they had satellite tagged a grey-headed albatross. All right, that may not technically be a native bird, although you will get albatrosses over here. I just wanted to mention this because the stat around this albatross was incredible. And they satellite tagged it and they recorded it flying at 78.9 miles an hour in level flight. But it did it for 8 hours.
Oh, blimey, the endurance on that.
Now, what they couldn't determine is how strong a tailwind it had.
Just riding the wind.
So it could have been, you know, a storm wind behind it. But it recorded it for 8 hours. But for birds that I know are native, it's the swift for me. 70 miles an hour, level flight. Doesn't quite catch up with your green tiger beetle. But it could get in the team.
Yeah, to be fair, actually, I also grabbed a flyer just because I found the stat interesting, although it doesn't rival your Swift of, what's that, 70-odd miles an hour, is that apparently skippers, which are butterflies, there are quite lots of different skippers, and I've got them just as a group. Little skipper being one of my favourite butterflies to photograph because they've got fantastic faces, can actually reach up to 37 miles an hour. One of the fastest butterflies. So I thought...
That's pretty impressive.
That would be quite cool, but it doesn't quite top out the Swift.
Because I went off and did a little couple of things about mammals, and obviously the fastest land mammal in Britain is the brown hare, and that will run at speeds exceeding 40 miles an hour. Roe deer are quite fast as well, about 38. I don't know about greyhounds, but it's a greyhound and native dog.
They're all sort of bred, aren't
they? Yeah, I think they are, and they can run, they've been clocked at 43 miles an hour. So.
I wouldn't necessarily say they're like wildlife, but they are rapid.
Anyway, I'm just giving you a comparison. But for me, it's got to be a Swift.
Okay,
apart from the fact that I absolutely love Swift.
They are stunning. And again, the slight problem is, you know, in this Olympics, we're going to need a much smaller racing track for my green tiger beetle.
Yes, you are.
If we could scale down the 100 metres to maybe like a metre.
Have you got an invertebrate that would be good at a marathon?
No, I haven't actually. Not really. I haven't got any. I was looking at... A bit like, I guess, like the albatross is the big migration. So you've got things obviously like the painted lady and the monarch butterflies that fly thousands and thousands of miles. But I couldn't find any, I didn't come up with any that would be like a long distance over ground travel. Yeah. I would put forward either one of the migratory butterflies because they fly from Africa or monarchs all the way across.
Yeah, well, I'm a bit the same. I could name
so many migratory
birds. So many migratory birds that will fly 6,000-7,000 kilometres.
Yeah, so I'd do that as an endurance race rather than as
I couldn't find, I could have found dozens of birds that would do the marathon quite easily.
Yeah.
so we'll move on, shall we? What else have you got?
Well, I've got quite a cool one for a high jump, which I imagine is quite tricky for a bird because they just fly, which is somewhat cheating, really.
I haven't got a bird that does a high jump, so we're going to need an invertebrate.
Well, we're building the whole team, aren't we? So where the birds flourish and put them in.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Where they can't really jump, that's the time for the froghopper to shine.
Yeah.
So this insect holds a Guinness World Record.
So they'll be higher than fleas because fleas jump pretty high, don't they?
Yeah, this species, which I'm sure I'm going to butcher, Phalaenus spumarius, it's a frog hopper.
Yeah.
If you've never seen one, they are absolutely tiny, probably smaller than your fingernail. They sort of just look like little ovals. But if you disturb them, they ping up into the air. And this specific frog hopper holds the record for the highest jump by an insect of 70 centimetres.
No way, that's incredible.
So bear in mind they are like a millimetre or two in size. It accelerates at 4,000 metres per second, which is 13,000 feet per second. It overcomes a G-force of more than 414 times its own body weight. And it is the equivalent of a 6 foot man jumping 600 feet in the air.
That's absolutely mad. Has evolution adapted its physiology in a way that it can cope with
they're
that?
They're like, when you watch them.
Because we couldn't cope with that kind of G-force, we'd just die, wouldn't we?
Even things like if you watch them walk, like their back legs are so sort of specialised for jumping, they almost just drag along the ground. They are basically just springs. And like I say, you disturb them and they ping up into the air. Most people maybe like won't have actually seen them, but I think like gardeners in particular are known for or will know something called cuckoo spit.
Yeah.
Which is like that frothy massive bubbles that you find on your plants. And that actually protects frog spawn nymphs. It's like a protective thing. Apparently it's called cuckoo spit because it appears about the same time as you start hearing the cuckoo's
it's
call.
To do with cuckoos.
No. Yeah. But they are just these tiny little, they're true bugs, so they belong to the order Hemiptera. Just quickly back on that G-force, they actually pull 400 G. And when you think that astronauts experience about 5 G, this little insect is pinging 400 just from the sheer speed at which it pings.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying about how does it cope with the G-force.
No, there are physics papers written about them.
Yeah, I'll bet.
But I just thought...
There's a lot of physics going on there, isn't there?
So, yeah, 70 centimetres doesn't seem like a lot, but when you're only a centimetre long, then that is... They're my high jump contender. We're just going to have to scale all of the Olympics down for mine. And, but it's, like I say, Guinness World Record holding insect, and it's just... The evolution that's gone into to forming that ability is just really cool. Obviously, I had quite a lot of options for jumping events because you've mentioned fleas, but I also had like grasshoppers.
Yeah, of course.
And I really wanted to put the grasshoppers in for the long jump rather than the high jump, but I struggled to find any stats for the like distance travelled. Everybody gave height.
Grasshoppers and crickets, which one will jump the furthest or the highest?
Depends very much on the species. Yeah. Grasshoppers, in general, jump a lot further.
But they'd be really good at long jump.
Yeah, and I've tried really hard to find like some sort of measurement of this species of UK grasshopper jumps X distance. And everyone's like, oh, they can jump of heights up to like 50 centimetres. I'm like, I want the length.
Yeah.
But so they would be my contender for long jump. As I'd
or
throw
high
in,
jump.
Or high jump. But the froghopper takes them on that. I would throw in that some sort of grasshopper for my long jumper. But yeah, fleas were another contender.
Yeah.
But froghopper, what a cool insect.
That's absolutely insane.
You can find them just dotted about your garden. If you say, if you poke them, you'll watch them ping. It's very cool.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, they definitely make the team.
Yeah, they're in there.
Got anything for climbing? Well, of course you've got climbing, haven't
you? The problem I have with climbing is all of my insects keep going climbing, like any of them. They just stick to things.
Yeah.
So
I really
it's a little bit unfair.
I really only had... two tree creepers or nuthatches, and I've gone for tree creepers because studies show that they climb at 10 centimeters per second when foraging. But I like this stat about them, is that to climb they make hops upwards with both feet together, a bit like reverse abseiling, and each hop covers about 6.6 mil. But in a day they may climb 2,500 meters.
Oh, blimey.
In a day. If you totted it all up, which is higher than any British mountain. So I thought that was really...
To be fair, also with the like hopping technique, you put them in speed climbing.
Speed climbing would be brilliant. So I've put tree creepers in for our climbing team. So, and any one...
And
of,
any insect.
Just pick one.
Just pick a fast insect.
Yeah, yeah.
Any of them will do, really.
I've got... Going slightly off the... I had to put this in, because going slightly off the bird theme, because I just like this one, I've put... in the decathlon, I've put squirrels.
See, yeah, I was going to say squirrels would be a good contender because, for something like long jump.
Well, squirrels
like that,
can run at 20 miles an hour, so they'd be really good at that event. They can jump pretty much, I think it's about 5 feet vertically from a standing start.
Yeah, so they've got
start.
Their high jump sorted.
They can long jump over really big gaps and distances, 10 to 15 feet in one jump. Obviously, they're very good at climbing. I know climbing isn't in the decathlon, but I've just put it in there. Obviously brilliant at gymnastics, and I know that's not also part of the decathlon, but it could be.
They're pretty good at throwing nuts out of trees.
Well, I was just about to say, there's a throwing. They're really good at throwing, and what they'll often do is they'll throw nuts out of trees. They'll also throw pine cones down to retrieve them for hiding, for obviously storing for food. But there's been some really good little reels and funny stories about squirrels throwing pine cones and acorns and things at predators like dogs and foxes.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And there's a few on TikTok where squirrels have been throwing pine nuts and pine cones at dogs in people's backyards, you know, in back gardens. And I thought that was absolutely
hilarious. So they've got
hilarious.
The shot put and javelin.
So they've got
sorted.
Running, jumping and throwing. So I've put squirrels into the decathlon team.
Yeah, they're pretty all-round athletes.
Because
really,
they're pretty
they?
All-round.
And we can always throw in the red squirrel for our native.
You can also put the squirrels into the gymnastics competition as well. So they're pretty multi-talented, actually. So
big up the squirrels.
And into the climbing as well, because they'd be amazing at speed climbing.
Yeah, and bouldering.
And bouldering.
All of them be great.
So squirrels are our all-rounder.
Should have stuck a spider in for lead climbing because they fall off. They've got a rope.
There you go. They've got a belay.
Yeah, they're self-belaying. It's fine.
Okay, so that's the decathlon done. That's climbing done.
I've got something really quite left field, which go I know, on. Which I know you wouldn't be able to do with birds. I've got a rower in there.
Oh yeah, I know when you put that through saying I've got a rower, I couldn't think of it, and then when you sent me think I absolutely roared.
So obviously I've gone for the common back swimmer, which is also sometimes referred to as a great water boatman.
Yeah.
To be fair, they're not often called the great water boatman because it becomes a bit confusing with the lesser water boatmen. So they're actually called back swimmers. But obviously their back legs are basically oars.
They've actually really... Now you said that, they do look as though they're rowing. When they're going across the water, don't
they? For the single... Is it single sculls or something like that? They just... There we go. I've got a rowing insect
brilliant.
In there.
Because the rowing in the Olympics has been absolutely brilliant to watch.
Sadly, I couldn't... I tried, again, really hard to find, like, an actual speed. Like, how fast can they row? Or
I think it's quite fast.
Swimming. But everything just refers to them as taking off at lightning speed.
Yeah.
Because they're actually predatory, so they're chasing down prey underwater. But whenever you watch either a lesser water boatman or the common back swimmer, which is Notonecta gluaica, they really do look like they're pulling oars on a boat. So I thought, sneaking. I love watching the rowing. So
Those rowing races were 2,000 metres, so I'm not sure how they do over that distance.
Well, you know, I've scaled the 100 metres down to a metre for the tiger beetle, so I maybe the rowers just need to row a metre.
I'm so pleased we've got someone in the rowing team.
Yeah, so I've got my common back swimmer, all my lesser water boatmen. I thought we'd get some insect rowers in there.
Brilliant. What else?
We're building quite a comprehensive team.
Yeah, it's not too bad, is it?
I think UK wildlife could do quite well.
I've got a bird for the boxing.
Your bird for the boxing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Black grouse.
Oh, of course.
Because they fight in a little arena called a lek, so it's called lekking. And they actually create this little arena where males come together and they do, and it looks like they're boxing because they come up on and work with their feet. They obviously flap up and box each other with their feet, and it's all obviously about territory.
Should stuck them in for taekwondo.
Oh, they'd be good at that.
Maybe they're multi-disciplined.
So, and they are absolutely brutally vicious, but they literally create a little arena, and it is called lekking, and the arena is called a lek.
Oh, that's fascinating.
And it looks like they're effectively boxing each other, and they say they do it for territorial, they do it for claiming the girl.
Yeah.
We've got someone in the boxing.
Yeah, and I say stick them in taekwondo as well. That's all footwork, isn't it?
Definitely. I think they'd be good for that. So well, have you got any boxers?
I haven't, but I've got a wrestler.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So
okay.
I mean, obviously, when you think of boxing, you've got maybe things like praying mantis or something. I can obviously find a UK equivalent, but wrestling. And this species does have its own episodes. If you want to learn lots more, you have to go listen to our previous episode. But obviously, the stag beetle
has
got to go in as our wrestler.
Of course.
The males, which have the sort of iconic and obviously namesake antler-like jaws, the males will wrestle each other to compete for the women. And they will lock jaws and flip each other off trees and try to get each other on their back. And that's basically the goal of wrestling anyway. So stag beetles.
Stag beetles are good. I tried to find birds that wrestle, and there aren't many, but starlings do. Starlings, yes, they're fighting, but actually in the way that they fight, and scrabble around on the ground. The term has been used, starlings wrestling.
Yeah.
So I've put starlings forward. Lots of birds fight, and as we've discussed with the black grouse, they obviously are fighting over territory and are fighting over females. But starlings have a way of doing it that does look like they're down on the ground and they're wrestling each other.
My other option, if I was going to go away from my insect focus, was going to be adders. Because the male adders really do wrestle. Again, another animal that we've done a whole episode on. So you can go learn, obviously, all about stag beetles and what needs to be done to conserve them in our stag beetle episode. But they are fantastic wrestlers. And again, it's a real feat when you get to actually see a video of it, because they're quite impressive.
Definitely.
Chunky beetles throwing each other around.
Definitely. Okay, so weightlifting was a category
I've got one as well.
I've got birds that obviously can pick up, quite a heavyweight, ospreys being one, when they're picking up large fish out of the water.
Eagles taking small.
Golden eagles are probably known. Obviously, white-tailed eagles are larger eagles, but golden eagles are incredibly powerful, pound for pound, and they probably take the win for birds lifting heavier weights, and they can lift between 1 to 4 kilos.
Yeah, which is a lot for a bird.
In the air. I've seen videos of golden eagles striking goats off the side of a mountain and actually holding them in their talons, but they're not really lifting it because they're falling with that bird, and all they're doing is holding on to it. And then when it hits the ground, the goat or the animal that it captures would appear to be incredibly heavy, but they're kind of falling with that animal, and it would hit the ground and either die on the spot, or it will then the eagle will kill it. So it's not really lifting it.
Yeah, but
it's
will... like an osprey is pulling it out of the water, isn't it?
The other one, Eurasian eagle owls, which are actually native now in this country, they will take something as large as a fox, small fox, and also fawns.
Yeah.
So they're also incredibly powerful for lifting weights, you know, and flying off with them. But it would probably be a golden eagle for me for the weightlifting.
I do have a weightlifter, although I feel like they would compete better in like a strongman challenge.
Yeah. It's not a dung beetle, is it?
It is a dung beetle. Yeah. So, interestingly,
isn't that one of the strongest, effectively the strongest animals in the world?
So, I'm going to butcher this as well. Ornithophagus, which is like a group of dung beetles. Ornithophagus taurus or taurus is the strongest insect.
And they are native to the UK.
No, so Ornithophagus taurus isn't. It's like I think their range stretches everywhere from like Portugal all the way across to Asia.
Right.
So lots of Europe, but I don't think they reach the UK. But we do have Ornithophagus dung beetle, which is not that species.
Yeah.
So I've put dung beetles in. Okay, we might not have strongest. Maybe we're only going to get silver in this competition, but we can stick a contender in. But I've got the stats for Ornithophagus taurus anyway, because it's the famous one, so it's where all the sort of facts and figures come. It can pull 1,141 times its own body weight, which is, once again, I'll do an equivalency, same as a person lifting 6 full double-decker buses.
That's impressive.
I did think that like the rolling of a big ball of dung is a lot more similar to like the strongman stones or pushing a bus or something. However, they do lift them, and so I thought I'd whack a dung beetle in there because they are famously strong.
I wonder whether you put leaf cutter ants, but they're not. I'm not sure they're native.
No,
to the UK,
I mean any
they?
Of the ants are
incredibly strong.
I think whenever you do these sort of scaled down comparisons, the insects carrying, you know, what looks like a small item, like a bit of leaf, is still substantially heavier than its own body weight. Yeah. But for the championship spot, dung beetles are next level strong. We might not have the gold medal beetle, but we can definitely bring in bronze or silver.
I'm not sure that golden eagles are going to win the gold medal for weightlifting, but they're going to have to go in the team with the dung beetle.
Look, every team has its strengths and weaknesses. You know, we never do very well in some sports, and we dominate in others, and clearly our wildlife's not winning the weightlifting competition. However, if anybody listening thinks that we've missed a really obvious contender,
that'd be great to hear, wouldn't
it? It would be fantastic. And we are actually about to start a proper dedicated Instagram channel for the podcast, so I will stick whatever we decide the handle will be in the show notes, so it's a new place for people to get in contact. It'd be fantastic to know if you think we've missed an obvious contender for any of this, or if by the end of the episode we've missed out a whole category. Yeah. Oh, how have you not put that doing that?
That would be really fun.
It'd be brilliant to know who your team GB of wildlife would be.
Yeah, because up until now we've always posted our little bit of marketing or promo for our podcast on
our
a bug in
channels.
The lens or a bird in the lens, and we're now going to start the Birdie Bug Pod Instagram page.
Yeah, there's a place where, because we're hoping, this is a bit of a sidetrack, I've taken us away from the episode now, but we'll stick some more things like behind the scenes, maybe some of the bloopers, some of us filming in the shed in the garden.
So a bit more fun with
you can get a little bit more of an insight to the podcast and it gives us a nice platform to really show the podcast off. So please do, I'll stick it in the show notes. Please do go check it out. Give it a follow. It'll be
great.
A good place for some interaction. But to start that interaction off, please let us know any of your absolute gold medalist UK wildlife.
I'm trying to think of any other categories we've missed, because I'm running out of categories now. I don't know about you.
I have one more.
Okay, go for it.
I've got, now this is a bit of a long shot really, and that's a slight pun. So I've gone for archery / shooting.
Okay.
Which, again, it's a tricky one. I thought about putting, there were some really cool fish that like spit water.
Yes.
But again, I couldn't find an example in the UK. And so sticking to my bug themed side of this episode, I've gone for the wood ant, Formica rufa, because they spray formic acid as up to a distance of 5 centimeters, which again doesn't sound a lot, but you have to bear in mind they're not very big.
Yeah.
I thought firing an acid, you could probably take out clay pigeon with that, as long as it's a really small clay pigeon. So I thought for some sort of shooting event, maybe they want to get in the modern pentathlon or something.
It's a shame we don't have chameleons in this country, isn't it? Because they're absolutely amazing at shooting.
Or some sort of spitting snake, something like that. So I was stretching a little bit, but I thought I'd whack the wood ant in
Target shooting and stuff like that, I could have obviously... Kingfishers are incredible at target shooting, in effect.
Because they just are the arrow.
They are the arrow, and a bit the same as gannets and ospreys the same. So I have various diving birds that you could argue are very good at target shooting because they very once they spot something, they very rarely miss it. Kingfishers will very rarely miss a catch when they spot it. The same with ospreys. Yes, they will occasionally, but they're pretty accurate. And gannets, of course, I guess, are going in and then swimming down. So they'll either take things off the surface or they'll hit the water. And if they miss, they'll carry on going down to catch something or get sand eels or whatever. So so I haven't really got a target shooter or a clay pigeon shooter, let's say. Actually, a clay pigeon catcher would be a peregrine because they're absolutely amazing at that. So peregrines would be really good at targets, but nothing really archery based.
I'll stretch a little bit, but they do fire something.
The only thing else that I've got is that I, again, if you were doing it as a GB team, I've just put in a little category as the best team for teamwork in the Olympics, and I've put geese down as the best
flying
team
in
players,
formation,
because they fly in perfect formation, and it's done for a reason, and it's done as a kind of teamwork. Apparently adds flying in that way adds 71% more flying range for the geese than if they flew on their own.
I guess it's a bit like the like Tour de France cyclists, isn't it? Who they rotate who's in like, slipstream.
Exactly, they do. The lead goose in the formation, see the drag is very high, so they rotate round to share the load.
Yeah.
Let's say. They're also, what I didn't realise that I read, is that leave no goose behind. They stand by their flock in good times and bad. When a goose gets sick or wounded in the flock, two other geese will drop out of the formation, follow it down to help and protect it, and they stay with the goose until it dies or is able to fly again, and then they'll launch back up to join another formation or to rejoin their original one, which would have gone. So they're actually really good for looking out for each other.
That's really cool.
Teamwork. And I didn't know that they did that. And obviously they communicate and support each other while they're in that honking that you hear when geese are flying over is often them communicating to each other about, you know, rotating and whether one's falling behind.
Very organised.
Very organised, fantastic team, geese. So I've put best teamwork.
Yeah, see, I could have thrown in something like a social insect, something like ants or bees obviously work very well.
Yeah, so I did that because obviously we have team events like the hockey and stuff like that where they're working really well as a team. So I've put the geese forward for our best team.
I just thought of something that I completely missed.
Go on.
Just rewinding back to the long jump, jumping spiders.
Well, of course.
Should have stuck like Salticus senecus, little zebra jumping spider.
I think you know, you can put those in because they've still got to qualify for the final
rounds. I think they jump something like three times their body lengths, which, again, if you did that as a human jumping three, if you're 6 foot and it was like 18 feet, that's a pretty big jump. I can't convert that to meters because I'm not that smart. What's the long jump record? Not that.
The long jump record is 8 meters something.
Okay, well then, you know, jumping
spiders,
which is
about 27 feet, I think is a long jump record.
Okay, so jumping spiders might do all right there. So, but yeah, I think that brings the end of my contenders.
Yeah, I think that does mine as well. So we put together a pretty sound team, I reckon.
Yeah, should we run through them really quickly?
Yeah.
So for, what did we start with? Diving, we've got gannets.
Yeah. Swimming, diving, we've got gannets. Yeah. Swimming, we've got cormorants.
And I've got my whirligig beetle.
Whirligig beetle that swims in circles. I'm not sure how many medals he's going to get.
He's accelerating very fast, though. He's quick off the line.
Obviously, I've got ducks in the synchronised swimming.
Which I love that.
Yeah.
Got green tiger beetle for my sprinter.
And I've got the swift. So we've got two really good sprinters in there.
It's not bad. That's a good
I've got
lineup.
Pheasant for the running.
Yeah. We've got the common back swimmer and lesser water boatman for our rowing.
Yeah, tree creeper for the climbing.
Yeah, and I've got my I've got any spider in there for my lead climber because they self belay.
Yeah, I've got squirrels, obviously, in the decathlon, and maybe the gymnastics if we're running a bit short with gymnastics.
Yeah, and get them
competitors.
In there. I've got my frog hopper for the high jump,
yeah.
And I've got grasshopper slash jumping spider for the long jump.
Yeah, I've got black grouse for the boxing.
I've got stag beetles or adders for the wrestling.
I've got starlings in the wrestling team, and I've got golden eagles in the weightlifting.
I've got dung beetles in the weightlifting and wood ants in archery or shooting.
Yeah.
And then we've got two teams. We've got the geese, and we've got any sort of social insect you like. Which is a bit of a cop-out. just throw any of them in
I
there.
Was thinking that that frogs might have been really good on the breaststroke.
Yeah, they've well, yeah, that's actually a good shout.
They kind of do a breaststroke.
Proper frog's legs, don't they?
They do a proper breaststroke stroke, don't they?
Yeah, let's throw them in there
I'm
going
to put the, I'm going to put the frogs in for the, you know, to take Adam Peaty's, you know, discipline.
Yeah,
so they can do
the common frog in there.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, we'll stick that in.
Is as a last minute, yeah. Just qualified.
Just qualified,
in.
Yeah. So I think that might be the team done.
Yeah, that's it. I think, to be fair, we've put together quite a strong team.
I think it's
team.
Pretty
I
good.
Quite like the fact that there are areas where the insects are shining in a smaller scale, and then other areas where if I couldn't find anything at all and the birds can take their place. The squirrel's obviously just out there being a multi-talented little creature. But I'm sure we've missed some absolutely cracking athletes out there. So if you've got any...
I was thinking about things like... I was trying to find a category for the goshawk, which is unbelievably good at avoiding obstacles. And I was thinking whether you could put
chase.
That... The steeplechase.
Or hurdles.
Or the show jumping or something like that. Because goshawks, if you see a goshawk manoeuvring through
woodland.
What
about some sort of slalom? Put them in the canoe slalom, but they're just flying above the water.
Yeah,
it's a bit
maybe, of a stretch. Yeah. Bit of a stretch, but if you watch a goshawk manoeuvring and chasing prey through a woodland, it's unbelievably athletic and agile in the way that it turns and twists and avoids obstacles and goes through small gaps by folding its wings down. And I was trying desperately to find a category. So if anyone can think of a category for... that would apply to a goshawk, which is an incredibly powerful bird, but also unbelievably athletic. Steeplechase isn't a bad one, but it's... Yeah, so...
Yeah. Also, obviously, we've done this from a very UK-dominated focus. If you're listening and you're not from the UK, put together your national wildlife team.
That's a good shout.
Because it'd be great to hear the wildlife that we don't have in this country and who our athletes would be competing against.
That's a great shout. I like
that. If you've got... spare time,
Africa would do pretty well, wouldn't it, with cheetahs, elephants in the weightlifting.
we've done all right for a little island.
We've done all right.
If you get bored over lunch or something, try and put together your national wildlife Olympic team. We'd love to know who you stick in there.
I'm sure we've missed some categories and I'm sure we've missed a few things out, but it's been really fun.
I hope you've enjoyed what's a very different episode, because there's no real serious topic. It's just us chatting about some silly wildlife.
We've enjoyed it anyway.
We've been a bit swept up in the Olympic fever, so I thought it'd be a laugh. But yeah, check show notes, go and find our new Instagram account. Thanks for listening.
Thanks very much
for listening. We'll catch you next time.
Will do. Bye-bye.
Bye.